Steve and Jill here.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about reframing your money-making mindset.
That's a mouthful.
Everybody's got a pre-existing condition about money. Like a healthcare pre-existing condition.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And some people can get out of that, you know, if they make some changes in their life, eat better, exercise, whatever. You can change that mindset and go on and
like learn to save money.
Or, yeah, I mean, that's part of this. Mm-hmm. Not really, but okay. That's okay. What I want to hear your perception, though.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
For the record, I didn't learn to save money until I was an adult.
I know.
Way into being an adult. If I would save up whatever money I had and then blow it all on a fun concert weekend and then start saving up again to do it over and over and over again.
I would honestly argue, I think you're supposed to live your childhood.
Yeah, it's like, my account would go from $600 to $20 and like, whatever. where I sat at the concert was just a direct relationship to how much money was in my account. I can afford these tickets. I can't afford those tickets.
I think you're supposed to do stupid stuff when you're a teenager like that. That's what you're supposed to do.
True. And by the way, as a girl, even though I could only afford those tickets, don't think I didn't end up down front.
I don't even want to know how you got down there.
Okay. Joys of being a girl. Okay. Thomas wrote, I'm buying a property right now, and my title company sent a 14-page for sale by owner document for me and the seller to complete. A fellow investor asked why I'm doing that, and he's never done one before through a title company. Is a title company pushing off their work on me to do? I'm already a month into this deal. Possibly. And I just want some progress. It's a large, well-known company, so I just assume this is normal and that they know what they're doing, but now I'm not sure.
May I?
Please.
What they're asking you to do is sign a purchase agreement that's non-real estate agent driven. And so the purchase agreement that we use for all of our deals and everybody in Land Academy uses is a single page. I want to buy it. You want to sell it. Here's the price. Here's the time frame. There's a few conditions in here. If I change my mind or you change my mind before it closes, the deal's off. Mm-hmm. So why that document needs to be 14 pages, Thomas, it baffles me as much as you.
Exactly.
The reason is, you know, it's not the baffling part. There's a bunch of lawyers got involved with the National Association of Realtors and said, then made this complicated for everybody. And it's been accumulating since the 50s in this country. And the contracts, Jill and I are doing a large deal right now through a realtor, which is unusual for us. A few of them, actually. But one in particular, on a very urban area, there's document after document after document to sign, you know, and it gets worse and worse and worse as time goes on. Our way's better. Our Land Academy way is the best way to do this.
Here's usually what happens, Thomas. Betty, 20 years ago, had this, learned to do this somewhere. It's usually how it goes, right? And then she'll never change the way she does it. Never mind the person sitting at the desk over for her at the same office doesn't require that document. Betty might. There's little things like that that just happen because that's the way they learned them. So here's what I do. So what do? You could either say, I'm not doing that. And they might say, okay, will you please send me a letter saying I'm not doing that? And that's fine. They just need it for their file. That's one way. I'm not kidding. The second way, I'm such a rebel.
Jill answers this question. She has this. Go ahead.
I'm a rebel, man. You're making me do this document. Well, guess what I'm going to do then? This is exactly what I've done too, Thomas, at this situation. I'm going to print that baby out, and I'm going to cross out all the stuff I don't like, and I'm going to initial it, and I'm going to date it. And you know what? It might be 80% crossed out, and all that's left are the little terms that we agreed on. And then I hand it back to them, and all they do is go, okay. And they mark it noted and in their file. That's all they really need. It's silly, but have at it. And then it actually kind of makes, it's kind of fun for me.
Jill has like 500 girlfriends. And a couple weeks ago, one of them, wears too much makeup. And I said to Jill, why do you think that? It's because she's a totally cool person. It's fun to be around and you know, and that's how she answered it, exactly how she just answered that question.
Yeah, she's been doing it that way forever.
Mm-hmm.
No one told her. And that's okay.
Her name's not Betty.
No, it's not Betty.
Rebel, Thomas, rebel against this. Yeah. Just actually, you know what will solve it? Jill's way is great. It takes a long time, but, or you can just say, no, we already have a purchase agreement, and here it is. Yeah. And it's a single page.
Yeah, both ways will work. You can say, I respectfully, and they'll just say, I just need a letter from my file saying that I was gave it to you and you declined and the seller declined and you guys are happy with your own thing. Can you just do that for me? Absolutely. No problem.
Here's a 35,000 foot takeaway from this whole thing. If you're not a licensed real estate agent, you're just an investor like us and mm-hmm. the vast majority of the people that are in the Land Academy group, none of those rules apply to you. Right. The association, the Arizona every state's got a department of real estate. There's no sections in there about, you know, if you're not a subdivider and if you're not doing anything with a property, you're just buying some property and reselling it, there's shockingly few, if any, mm-hmm. rules that you have to comply by. So there are some. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say if any. There are some, but they're tiny in my opinion, insignificant compared to what goes on with real estate agents.
Well, sometimes too.
Why? Because all the problems are with real estate agents, not with people like us. Sorry.
Sometimes too, title agents, they're a little thrown by what we do. They think that they need to have this form, and they do make mistakes. I would not be surprised if you someday go through escrow and you get a lead-based paint disclosure you need to sign. Like, there's no...
For land.
There's no thing. You want me to sign a lead-based paint? I've been notified about. There is no paint. They just don't know. They're just going through their checklist. Yes. It's their way they do things. I always use the same 20 forms. Yep. Oh, I don't need to do that? Because we throw them too, because not only are we not agents and there's no agent involved, there's no lender involved. There's cash. So you, for many title companies, they're confused by you.
They've never done a deal like that.
And they don't understand how easy it is. We don't need all these things. Like, right. there's no appraisal. There's no inspection. It's kind of like, I just need to pass money through you and you check the title, chain of title. That's kind of it.
Just close the deal, please.
Yeah, that's it.
And make sure the numbers work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Today's topic, reframing your money-making mindset. This is the meat of the show.
I don't know why, but I feel bad because, I mean, I really have a few title agents, one that works for us full-time, that I love and respect, and they know their stuff. But it's so darn fun making fun of them. Not them, the other ones. It's interesting. It's kind of like county people sometimes. They're just like, they're set in their ways. Oh, I guess I wasn't done with that question. Sorry. Go ahead, sir.
This is a big issue. That is a big issue with Jill. Because it's real frustrating.
One of my
things. I'll tell you, early in my career, I never had any issues with title agents. Never. For the first 10 or 15 years. You know, they're Johnny on the spot with everything. They were fast. I don't know what the reasoning is now, but I think it's probably just a lot more volume. I don't know.
Part of the reason I think we're successful as investors and everyone that we teach the way we do things is you just need to take a step back and really realize what's involved here and what you're doing and then look at it smartly. And it doesn't have to be hard. Thank you. Now I'm done.
So reframing your money-making mindset. Again, this is a study that I read. It wasn't more so much a study as it was somebody's topic. And they had a lot to say about it. Excuse me, and so do I. Nothing starts without you believing in yourself or believing in your partner or believing in the fact that you can buy and sell land or buy and sell houses or buy and sell stock, whatever you believe in. You will never get the plane off the ground if you don't start with that. So joining Land Academy or buying and selling stock with this thing lingering in the back of your head that you don't believe in yourself or your parents told you whatever happened or you didn't go to college and you wanted to or we come up with all this stuff. And, you know, for boys in particular, it's imperative, in my opinion, to fail a few times really bad, like hit rock bottom bad, and then recoup from that. For some reason, because boys will just run their heads, and me included, run their heads into a wall until you know, with no progress at all, and then say, you know what, I suck. Instead of saying, you know, this wall sucks, I'm going to try a different wall, or I'm going to try a different spouse, or I'm going to try a different business, or this girlfriend's been dragging me down for 3 years. That's the wall. You have to come to that realization. But if you put it all on yourself and you say, I suck, you will never, it's that everything after that just becomes a futile attempt at accomplishing whatever it is you want to accomplish. So I know, is it the same for, I think it's different for girls.
Wait, I'm trying to rephrase it in a different way. Like, so you're saying, stop blaming them. Wait, don't blame yourself, blame the situation?
Well, you need to reset your mind. You need to say, yeah, you need to say, you know what? I know I suck at reading, but I'm great at math.
Okay.
You know, it was just my personal situation. And okay. So I've been gone all through school and college, and we were supposed to read this stuff and regurgitate it on a test. And I found out later it's all dyslexic related. But that didn't stop me ever.
No.
You know, I don't know why. You know, I knew that I was always very good at math, and math is what I wanted to do, and it became a data thing. So you really have to, what I'm talking about is confidence.
Okay.
Something.
Right.
Something, if something is bringing your confidence down, you got to sit down with a pad of paper, in my opinion, find out what it is, and change it.
Everybody's good at something. Yeah, everybody absolutely has something, and you can't compare yourself to others. You're right, you got to sit down and figure out what it is you're good at and really focus on that. One of the things, you know, we've naturally done it, and I know a lot of people listening here, it's very interesting. We have encouraged people to, in just within Land Academy, you're the data guy, I'm the talking on the phone person, period. And then we have a lot of people that are the opposite, and there's people that say, I don't have a Jack, I need a Jack, or I don't have a Jill, I need a Jill. They know that about themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. They know what they're good at.
That's a huge step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. They're being honest with themselves.
They know what they're good at.
If you ask 10 young men what they want to do, 9 of them are going to say, I want to be rich. And then if you ask those 9, well, what does that mean? And then 8 of those 9 are going to say, well, I want a Ferrari. Uh-huh. And I want, I know exactly what my first wife looks like. And my
house. There's a picture of her on my wall. It's a little scary.
And my house or my condo, I don't care too much about that. But the car and the wife, I know exactly what that's all about. And so what are we down to, 7? And you ask those 7 people how they're going to do it, 6 of them are going to say, well, I'm going to go be a medical. One of them is going to say, I'm going to go be a medical doctor.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go be an entrepreneur. You know, a lot of them will say, I'm going to go be an entrepreneur. So, and a couple say, I'm going to be an accountant, I'm going to own an accounting firm. They have a real serious plan. So, but we're whittling the numbers down to be, now 5 of them say, I want to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to be Mark Zuckerberg. Well, you might as well say, I'm going to win the lottery. That's how much of a chance you have that happening.
That's true.
Mark Zuckerberg, by the way, is in start to finish brilliant.
Yeah.
On all fronts. He started as a developer, writing code in a dorm room. And now he gives huge talks and can motivate, you know, it's a Steve Jobs level thing, and motivate people. So yeah. I don't have that in me.
Yeah,
I don't,
you do.
No, I don't. Jill, I don't. And I don't want that, by the way. I never want the responsibility that comes with being the 5th or 8th most wealthy person in the world. I never wanted that. When I was a little kid, if you asked me that, I didn't want that.
You are motivating a lot of people. You do realize that.
Thank you, Jill. That's very nice of you. But now's not the time for compliments.
Oh, sorry.
I'm trying to be stern dad here.
Oh, oops, sorry.
That's her way of softening it, I think.
I brought in the warm and fuzzies, like, not now.
Here's my point. You know, I can go off on this. This is in my book, by the way. But you really need to say is to yourself as a young person, you know, you need to reframe your money-making mindset. And it starts with doing a deal. Or getting really educated and getting into something that you're interested in. And you can't spend hours and hours reading or researching or look on anything if you don't first have some confidence. You're just wasting time. It's like building a house without a foundation.
So the confidence, I heard you, like, you got to do this stuff, but then you have to take action, obviously. So are you saying that figure out what you're good at, research, and then do something you know you're going to succeed at? Take one little step that you know you're going to succeed at, and then that's going to start the momentum for more and more and more.
No, here's my point. Just drop the Zuckerberg thing. I'm so sick of hearing it. And drop this big Ferrari hot girl thing. Just drop it. That's all.
You got a hot girl.
That's all going to happen anyway.
Oh, good.
How many women do I have to go through to get that?
Thank you.
You see? So,
thank you. That's
and how
true.
Many cars?
To yeah, the, that's
now
true.
It's to the point where I just don't. I drive an old car around.
I know.
Drop all of that.
Yeah.
That comes later. You have to first be very realistic. There's a reason that our first program's called $10,000 a month for life. It's very attainable.
It's true.
There's a step-by-step way to do it. Jill and I get emails every week from somebody saying, I joined 3 years ago and I just bought a new truck. I make $10,000 a month for life. And I know exactly what to do to maintain that. And that's right. The best compliment we could ever get. Sure, we get emails too from people. We just recorded it was a consulting call with some people that are making $100,000 a month and they're trying to increase that.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen to everybody? No, stop right there. Don't even think about that.
Right.
It'll happen if you're making $10,000 a month
right.
and then 15 and then 20 and you're actually enjoying what you're doing.
Mm.
So you constantly hear this. All the motivators and all this, think really big. Think as big as you can think. No, stop that. Don't think big. Think about getting your first customer. Think about what you want to do with the rest of your life. Make sure your confidence is where it is. If you got knocked down by some football coach or some stepdad, that stuff is all solvable. We all went through that, all of us. The worst thing you want to do is to let that soak in.
Right, that's true.
Am I preachy? A
little bit. That was good, though. We need it sometimes. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, my God.
No. In a good way. I mean that. That was really good.
I mean, what do you... You have this... You talk to women twice a week in your
group. Well, ask me a question. Ask me a question. Like, what are you trying to pull out of me? Because I agree with everything you're saying. It's just different for women.
I know. I want to hear a house. Because I don't think money is the center of it for women.
Mm-mm.
What's the center of it?
Oh.
For most women, I should say.
We're not raised to be the breadwinners. We're not raised to, like, even at my age, my upbringing was not, nothing about building me up as you know, doing anything great like that. Just making sure I'm a good person and I can be a good mom kind of thing. So.
Well, you were doing that in your 20s.
Well, thank you. Wait.
You've accomplished it then.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I guess you're done.
Yeah, apparently. That's what's so funny. That's probably why my parents are like, what the hell are you doing? You didn't have to work this hard. Just attach yourself to a guy like this and have some fun.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's awful.
I know.
It's right kidding. Out of 1951.
I know. Well, you know what, though? That used to be the way. So, and that's not obviously how we are and how I want to be anyway.
Jill works hard. For the record,
yeah.
Jill works harder than I do.
Thank you. I
and you seem to like it, though.
I do. Well, you know, part of it is, I'll tell you, Jack, I need to prove it to myself. I still want to prove it that I got it and I can do this and I can make my own money. I can take care of myself. I did it before I met you.
Yeah.
And it felt great. Felt so great. Thank you.
Sure. I hope I've made my point. Just think small in the beginning.
Yeah, it's good.
And then think progressively and then scale it to the, you know, to the wherever you want to stop.
Yeah. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on The Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on The Land Academy Show is called, So You're a Land Academy Member Now? What's Next? You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I'm excited for this topic. Because this came up from our team, I know.
Yes, it did.
That people
minute.
Are like, okay, I got the program. Now what do I do? And we will help you. And we will share that. And tomorrow's Christmas Eve, by the way. Yay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate your support. And we hope you find our content valuable. If you haven't already, get on over to our YouTube channel and please hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest in future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.